Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Stu Hynek, President of Cartoon Link. Hello, Stu.
Hello there. How are you? Good to join you.
I'm very well, thank you. Joining us from over the pond, I'm outside in the garden. You can probably hear the seagulls.
I can hear something on your desk, but no seagulls.
They come in later. Talking of seagulls, the topic we're discussing is humour. Now, Stu, you are a professional cartoonist, aren't you?
Loosely, yeah. Yeah, pretty, yeah. That's about right.
And
it's a difficult question, isn't it?
So, yeah, we're going to talk about humour in marketing. And I've been looking forward to this interview for quite a while because I, as some of you might know, I am a humorous fellow and I sometimes get into trouble because of my humour.
Those seagulls hammering away.
That's somebody hammering something. I think there's somebody in the next garden making something. But you will hear the seagulls. Let's talk about humor. Let's talk about a bit of a definition of how you see humor, why cartoons are so powerful in marketing, and what does humor do to people?
Sure. Well, you know, they're all great questions. Just basically, you know, we know that magazines and newspapers are constantly running readership surveys to find out what gets read and remembered. Mm. And what they find is that cartoons are almost always the best read and remembered part. In fact, in the case of newspapers, they're better read than the front page, which is funny because, you know, the paper's wrapped in that piece of paper, but people go right past it to the cartoons. So what that means really is that cartoons get more attention than just about anything in print or on screen. So, and then if you think about the nature of humor, humor is about truth being revealed in a twist, isn't it? I mean, you notice how you laugh at something and then you say, huh, but after you finish, you say, huh, but that's so true. Or,
yeah,
you know, it is like that, or I've been through something like that. There's always something you just go, my God, that's so true. Just that captured it. Well, so from a marketing, well, actually, I'll just mention also that they're also disarming. God, I've sent such obnoxious things in cartoon form, and they always get received well. So from a marketing standpoint, though, if we look at this, what we have is, again, something that gets more attention than just about anything you can put in print or on screen. Mm. Then they're always, what they're doing when someone laughs, when they say, I don't know if they say it in the UK, but here we say, oh, I get it. And if they're saying that, then they did get it. They got your message. What they've gotten is a point of agreement planted almost subliminally. I mean, they're just laughing and going, it's so true. And that's it. It's done. They're already in agreement with your point. And then because they're disarming, they tend to melt away that natural resistance people have to strangers and to commercial messages. And
yeah.
So, you know, for all those reasons, I think they're actually the ultimate involvement and engagement device, probably the most powerful there is in existence.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, therefore, do you think that cartoons specifically are a very good persuader of messages?
Yeah, they are, again, because, you know, Andy, when I start talking to a a new client, it always feels a little silly to suggest to them that they put a cartoon at the tip of their marketing spear, if you will. But, you know, it's because of those reasons that I just stated. They're just an amazing device for getting people to engage. And based on how you've targeted the cartoon or the cartoon you've chosen or created, it has to be done very carefully.
Yeah.
But if it is, then my God, people are just, they're laughing and sitting there and nodding their head in agreement with the message that you intended, the thing you intended to get them to agree with.
So is there then a right way and a wrong way to use humor? I know that I'm an expert in using it incorrectly, but there must be a right way and a wrong way to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know, one of the things that I should start with is just that the way that we're used to using humor is often between friends. You know, you're down at the pub and you're kidding around, and usually it's pretty biting humor. And of course, that's not the kind of humor you'd want to use in a marketing campaign. And I should mention also that in my use of cartoons, I'm always using them with personalization. So the recipient finds their name in the caption. It's about them. And so that shows up in mailed campaigns, and it shows up in email and contact campaigns. So obviously, if we're going to send a cartoon about the recipient, we want them to come out on top in the humor. We want them to feel like that it's just paid them a compliment. It's the opposite of pub humor. And, you know, the next thing is that, you know, a lot of times the clients will ask but this is great. I love the cartoon, but could we change it? Could we change the caption? Mm. And I know what it's just code for saying, can we inject our brand into the cartoon? Can we inject something about ourselves, our brand or our offer, our product name, something. And that kills it. People don't care about that. Mm. And so it has to be about something they care about. So again, I'm explaining or I'm describing a cartoon that has some targeting specifications to it. First is it's going to be about the recipient. It needs to be something about something that they find important in their lives. And they need to come out on top in the humor. And of course, it has to be funny. I've seen a lot of people try to imitate what I do, and they do a very clumsy job of it, primarily because they don't even put a gag into it. So there is no twist. It's just, here's my message.
Yeah.
So that's pretty lame. But if you do all those things, then the recipient gets the cartoon. A couple things happen. The recipient sees it, gets the cartoon. If it's showing up in a stack of mail that day, it'll cause them to pull it out of the stack. It causes it to stand out just like it does in magazines. So they'll pull it out and give it special attention. They'll open it up. If it's in a postcard, they'll stick it up on the refrigerator door. So they treat it in wonderful ways. The other thing that happens is that if there is secretarial screening, well, assistants and secretaries and mailroom clerks never throw away cartoons about their bosses. So, you know, that's a great, great, wonderful benefit of this.
Yes.
But I would say one last final point about the right and wrong way of using humor, and particularly cartoons, is I think it helps a lot if the cartoon is done by someone who is recognizable. So here in the States, we have cartoonists who are published in The New Yorker, that's probably the cream of the crop, and The Wall Street Journal, which is one of the places my cartoons appear. I would have said a decade or more ago that Punch would be the place to find them in the UK, but I'm sure you know who the prominent cartoonists are in the UK. I know that Punch is around. I know that they have a repository. It's probably useful and helpful to your listeners that I know that they have a repository of cartoons, and I think they may have something like 500,000 cartoons.
Mm.
And, you know, cartoons reflect what's going on in current society. So those cartoons span a lot of years and express a lot of things that are quite historic at this point.
You mentioned contact campaigns. I just want to clarify for our listeners, because a lot of our listeners are from the UK. I'm not sure if a contact campaign is something that people immediately recognize in the UK. That's where you're sort of, you're trying to sort of find your way to someone that someone wants to get in contact with, isn't it? Like to get through the gatekeeper, yeah. Like a president of a company or something like that. And it's been working quite effectively for you, hasn't it? Use of cartoons there.
It has. And the content, I don't know if anyone will know the term contact campaign yet. I think it's my own. It's what I've been calling them, and it's because I haven't found a term that describes it otherwise. Mm. The contact campaigns are, okay, let me see. I'm in the midst of a lot of interviews, talking to a lot of thought leaders in sales and marketing right now, getting their ideas that will be included into the magazine and quotes and so forth. And so the definition of it is changing and expanding, but essentially it is a campaign, a one-to-one campaign that you're using to get in touch with someone very important. So this could be, it could be a CEO or a president of a company, or it could be someone lower. It could be just a term that's come out in some of these interviews is the CEO of the problem you want to solve as a salesperson. Yeah. And, you know, oftentimes these people are awfully tough to reach. And, you know, they're busy and very protective of their time and resistant to talking to people they don't know. And to make it more complicated, obviously, they have assistants. And assistants are very adept at goalkeeping or gatekeeping. And they will easily ferret out the people who are not supposed to be talking to this person and wasting their time. Mm. So it's pretty tough. But these contact campaigns, and I've used cartoons this way. And typically, I'll put a personalized cartoon on an 18 by 24 inch. It's really an indoor signage piece. So it's quarter inch foam core that is produced on. And anyway, there's a cartoon on one side and then a message from the sender to the recipient on the other, explaining who they are and why they want to meet. And these things have been getting response rates that have gone, well, I've seen it happen now three times, that it's gone as high as 100%. And from the initial meetings that result, either the meetings or conversations on the phone, just those initial meetings, we've seen an ROI of as much as 8,000%.
Wow.
And just, again, just the sales that have happened during those initial, the first conversation. But I've just spoken to someone who told me about a campaign that he used to reach builders. He's in the mortgage business, and he wanted to team up with builders so that they could, so that the builder would offer or refer buyers to the mortgage company to finance their purchases. And so this fellow devised a really simple contact campaign. It cost him $175, including postage.
Mm.
And he sent it out to 70 builders. He said about 60% of them responded, but about 25 to 30 entered into a relationship, this referral relationship that they were targeting. And they ended up producing over $1 million worth of sales.
Wow.
So that, if we take the calculator out, it gets to be a rather bizarre and probably meaningless number because the number is so large.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be a 570,000% ROI.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I mean, so, you know, if you think about, I mean, in direct mail or direct response, the number that gets quoted a lot, and it's kind of a false number, is you ought to be shooting for a 1% response rate.
Yeah.
And it's not really, we'll use it for this discussion, but it's not really a valid number. Sometimes it should be much higher, and sometimes, or a lot of times, it's much lower. If you're going to a cold list, a list of people that don't know you or your brand, you could expect it to be lower than that. But at any rate, direct marketers are used to seeing response rates at 1% or perhaps less.
Mm.
And if it's a major publisher, for example, they're also used to seeing, and they're selling subscriptions to the magazine, they're also used to seeing an ROI that is less than 100%. So they're not breaking even. So to be talking about 100% response rates, that's like saying, among marketers, it's like saying you just saw a UFO.
Well, it's like saying to a physicist that you've got a machine that makes more energy than it has going into it. It's like one of those over unity
perpetual motion machines.
Everything
that we've heard is impossible. And 100% response rates are lumped into that category.
I'm trying to work out what it is about cartoons, Stu. I mean, I'm thinking it's almost like it shows that you've gone to the trouble, doesn't it? It shows that you've gone to the trouble to think about them and what they look like and who they are. People, I guess people are very flattered when they get a cartoon of themselves.
They are very flattered, and they'll hold on to it as a keepsake, whether it's just a postcard that you mailed through the through the postal service, or one of the big what I call big boards, with those big foam core pieces, or something else. They hold on to it. Probably the rest, those I'm sure people are holding on to the rest of their careers. But what it shows, you're right, it shows some forethought, and that's a critical element of any form of campaigning, and it's certainly true of trying to reach a CEO. You're really wasting their time if you don't know anything about their business or them, or what they're trying to achieve, what their priorities are or goals are, and how you can, as others have put it, how you can help them see around the corner. What's happening next? What's about to affect them? And if you don't know those things about the recipient, again, I'm talking about contact campaigns.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, then you're wasting their time, and they can recognize it immediately, and they're not going to be very happy with you. However, it has the exact opposite effect if you have looked into this and you do know what you're talking about. If you've done your homework and you understand what it is they're doing, what they're trying to achieve, and how you can help them, then they're all ears, and they can become your best friend. It's a completely different response.
We must talk about your experience of using.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
In cartoons and email marketing. I'm just going on from what you said. I'm going to make a guess that if you're doing the type of marketing where you're targeting individual people, then I'm going to guess that this would work really, really well. What's your experience using it in email marketing?
Well, you know, if any of your audience members who are using email to reach their audience, will recognize the fact that even though these are people who've opted into the list, which is very different from, say, direct marketing, where you're renting a list, that would be spamming an email.
Mm.
Still, so these people have asked to be on the list. Still, I'm sure they'll all recognize the fact that when they look at the metrics and they look at the open rate, you know, a lot of people aren't opening them. And this could be because they're seeing your newsletter over and over again. That's the nature of newsletters. Mm. They're seeing one after the other, and you know they signed up for it. They're interested, but they'll quickly find that they don't have the time. I mean, that's something I've certainly experienced with these newsletters. It's not something I want to lose contact with, but I find myself just archiving them without opening it.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. Archiving them.
Archiving them in the wastebasket.
Yeah.
That's right. So what we've been finding is that when we include what I call a cartoon device, or our cartoon device, which is the cartoon, essentially, it's the cartoon with the personalized caption. So there's a data insertion point for first and last name built into the caption, and the caption is rendered as text.
Yeah.
Not part of the image. Well, when we do that, we find that the open rates tend to double, and if you're including the cartoon device in multiple deliveries like newsletters or drip campaigns, then that higher higher open rate continues from that point on. And people end up, I suppose you could say that this attaches to the brand in a positive way, because I've heard a lot of clients say, well, you know, when I go to trade shows or wherever it is, I'm going and meeting with people who are on my list, they immediately recognize me because they're saying, hey, you're the guy who sends me those cartoons all the time. I love those.
So it makes you famous.
So that's wonderful. But it does. It makes the sender famous, which is wonderful. But that's, you know, as the provider of marketing services, that's what you hope to do for your clients.
Yeah, yeah.
Is create that kind of brand recognition. So the one story I'd love to tell you about, though, is the one that happened with Classmates. Classmates.com is obviously an enormous entity, but at one point, well, they were started here in Seattle, and I knew the founder, Randy Conrads. I'm not sure how we came in contact, but I knew him right after he started it, and he was growing this enormous database of people who'd love to stay in touch with their classmates, but he had no reason or no permission to, and really no basis for getting in touch with these people at all. And he should be. I mean, that's where the value of classmates.com was this database that they were generating. And so I had suggested to Randy that, you know, I realized though that Randy's probably, is anyone named Randy in the UK? I'm just realizing this.
Yeah, we have, I'm sure we have some Randys in the UK.
Well, you know, I heard this blooper story. I'll digress for a moment if you don't mind.
No, please do. I heard this blooper story
of Mattel was introducing a new doll that would read books. It was sort of seemed like it was reading books to your child.
Yeah.
So it came with books, and it came with, I guess, cassettes that would load into the doll.
Yeah.
And they named it Randy Reader, and they were quite confused about why everyone, when they introduced it in the UK, they were quite confused about why everyone was laughing.
Well, in the UK, Randy means sexually active. Does it mean the same in the US?
No, but I'm aware of the meaning. But anyway, that's not why Randy Conrads was
back,
that.
Back to the classmates.com story. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I had said to Randy, you know, you need some reason, some basis for addressing this huge database of people you have, because my gosh, then you can sell advertising against it. And that's when you'll be able to start monetizing this. And so I said, you know, why don't we come up with a cartoon page that you can send, and you know, we'll include a personalized cartoon, and then you can add things in, whatever you want. I mean, just make it about classmates and put links back in and tell them what the news is and explain what all the features are and so on. But let's give them a cartoon, really the cartoon device, and let's also give them a way to forward it, so you get viral pass along. Well, he came back to me afterward and he said, guess what we discovered? We've been getting open rates as high as 130%.
That's one over Unity again.
My God. So, you know, how could they have reached more people than they were mailing to? Obviously, that had to have been multiple opens. I'm still scratching my head about it.
Yeah, or it could be the viral. It could be the viral pass on.
And the viral. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know, it certainly we can see evidence of cartoons doing in email what they also do in print publications, which is they get a lot of attention. People love them. They pay attention. I mean, they just want to interact with them.
You've written a couple of books, haven't you? Tell us about these books.
Sure. Well, the first one I wrote is called Drawing Attention.
Mm.
And you know, when I started, there's a fellow named David Ogilvy who is a legendary ad man. He is a Hall of Fame marketer. He was the founder of Ogilvy & Mather, one of the top 10 advertising agencies in the world. And he always used to say, don't use humor. Humor doesn't work. And he also used to say, people don't buy from clowns. Of course, he was wrong on all those counts. But all of the experts, when I was starting out, were repeating his advice, don't use humor, it doesn't work. The quickest way to kill off your campaign. And I suppose for most of the people that I was listening to, their use of humor might have killed off their campaigns. I don't know, but
maybe it was applied wrongly.
It was absolutely. Again, I keep seeing examples of why that would happen every time I talk to a new client, because as I mentioned before, they always want to inject their brand into it. And as soon as they do that, they kill the effectiveness of the humor. Well, so there I was creating a lot of record-breaking campaigns because, after all, it works tremendously. So I'm creating all these record-breaking campaigns, and I'm amassing this utterly unique body of test history. And I thought, well, I've got to share it with the world. And so that's what drawing attention is about.
Yeah.
It's about using humor in advertising and various other forms of marketing and sales promotion and social media, even how to, which has nothing to do with business, but it was one of my pastimes, how to use cartoons on napkins to meet people in bars, and which is how I met the governor of California once.
Okay. Is that how you met your wife?
I don't know if I mentioned how I met my wife, but I used a cartoon a bit. But
did you?
So I don't know if you know that. I met her because I saw her in a magazine.
Really?
Yes, I saw her in a magazine.
I think we'll do a separate podcast about that, Stu.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah,
actually.
I love the title of the next book. Actually, I find it slightly amusing.
Yeah, Big Fat Beautiful Head.
Yeah, Big Fat Beautiful Head.
Yeah, so that one, that's my second book, and that one is a book of, I'm producing cartoons all the time. I'm submitting to the Wall Street Journal and to the New Yorker.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of cartoons. Instead of just a bunch of cartoons, one per page, this one is a cartoon and then a page of commentary. And it was a lot of fun to write these because, I mean, the thing is, there are always stories behind any cartoon. Yeah. How did you come up with the idea? What's it about? How did it touch people? I had one cartoon that ended up putting me in contact with Ben Bernanke, whose name is probably not known in the UK, but
right.
He was the Fed chairman, so sort of secretary of banking, I suppose.
Okay.
A very important person and someone who's very, very insulated because no one should get to him. He's the guy who determines interest rates in the banking industry.
Ah.
So he's a very key figure, and I got in touch with him because of one of these cartoons. So there's a story behind that one. And another one, I live in the wonderful, beautiful state of Washington, which is mountainous, and it has shoreline, and there are two ranges of mountains. It's just a spectacular place. Well, one day I was driving over those mountains and heading east, and so in the desert, and I passed through a town called Yakima. And, you know, all towns have signage that tells you that you're entering that town.
Yeah.
And their town signage said Yakima, and really proudly, big letters, Yakima. And then underneath, the Palm Springs of Washington. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I'll bet that the town signage that Palm Springs has, Palm Springs, I'm sure they don't say the Yakima of California. So there are all these stories behind the cartoons, and I loved being able to tell these stories, and I think it made a lot of difference to the readers. Anyway, so that's Big Fat Beautiful Head.
Yeah.
And the one that I'm working on now is called Breaking Through, and it's a book that I don't expect to be out for, well, probably until this time next year. That's the one that is about contact campaigning.
Yeah, the title indicates that, yes.
Yeah. Well, basically, it's using contact campaigns to break through to VIP prospects in order to create breakthrough results in your business.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it because I think that basically any company with sales reps is going to be interested in this. It's a way to get their reps through the door to their most important prospects. But, I think small business owners are going to find it interesting. It's a way to change the scale of your business almost overnight if you get a large company saying, we want to partner with you or we want to become your customer.
Yeah.
And suddenly, millions of pounds are exchanging hands.
Wow.
So it's a wonderful subject, and I'm finding it really, really interesting because although I've used it myself with my own big board contact campaign form, I'm learning now about what everyone else has been doing, and it's just fascinating. Really, really interesting stuff.
Now, Stu, I'm excited because you've got a bit of an offer for our listeners, haven't you?
I do. Yes.
Tell us about the offer.
If you go to the URL I'm about to give, and I think you'll be able to find it in print as well. It's cartoonlink.com/Roger Parker.
Can I ask who Roger Parker is?
I do know someone named Roger Parker, but it's a code name that we also use for offers.
So cartoonlink.com/Roger Parker, all one word.
Yes.
Okay. And what will people, what will our listeners find when they go there?
What they'll find is an offer, actually a dual offer. First, they can get an ebook, which is excerpted from my Drawing Attention book. So,
yeah.
So it has a couple of the chapters and then the chapter on email marketing, and that's for free.
Oh, nice.
The other is that if, and I guess the assumption here is that the people who will find that interesting are using email in their marketing mix.
Yeah.
So the other part of this is that we're also offering a free test of our Cartoon Link device in your email campaign.
Wow.
So that you get a chance to try it out and see if we can help you drum up an open rate that is double what you're seeing currently. So free test and free ebook.
So cartoonlink.com/Roger Parker. That's very generous of you. Thank you so much, Stu. How can people find out about you, about Cartoon Link? Give us some URLs and emails and things.
Sure. Well, you can go to the Cartoon Link site. That's cartoonlink.com. Mm. You can reach me by email at stuheinek@gmail.com.
Let's go over the spelling of your surname, because it's that's STU, then no dashes or anything. HEINECKE, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah.
So stuheinek@gmail. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally, you can follow me on Twitter at cartoonlink. So the @cartoonlink.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, and one other, I guess if you would like to connect with me on LinkedIn, happy to do that as well.
Yep.
That's linkedin.com/in/ and then my name, Stu Heinick.
Stu Heinick, again, all no hyphens or anything like that.
No hyphens, just STUHEINECKE.
Well, Stuart, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much. And remember, listeners, go to cartoonlink.com/Roger Parker to take Stu up on that very generous offer. So, Stu, thanks again for joining us.
You're quite welcome. What a pleasure.
Listeners, if you want to listen to the podcast on the website, it's sitevisibility.com/IM podcast. As always, emails to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can telephone and leave messages, +44 1273 256 150. And of course, we are always available on iTunes, and we love reviews as well. So it's goodbye from me, Andy White, and it's goodbye from
Stu Heinick, and thank you again so much.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.